the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. It's the Brian Handyman Show. Hello there, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is show number 169. It's August 22nd, 2006. Certainly nice to have you with us today. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show today and every day, Don Shaw.
Hey, Tom Houston.
And, of course, Don Patterson is here via telephone line.
Hey there, Thomas and guys.
Yeah.
It's raining at my house.
Is it?
All right.
Thunderstorms.
My goodness gracious. We had a little sprinkle a while ago, but that's about it.
Well, this one came up pretty quick. The skies got kind of dark, but when it started raining, it really meant business.
All right. My name's Tom Houston. Here he is, though, folks. Here's the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Speaking of guys that mean business, here's Phil Parr.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's certainly a good day in the neighborhood. And let me get everything hooked up here. Pat, so you're still engaged in projects.
Yes, sir. I told you, this was kind of the crash month. I'm going to be through with my work.
All right.
Sometime tonight, as far as the pavilion. I'm the big man. Well, since it's rained, I don't know that he will come. I mean, if it's not raining, I don't think he cares if stuff is wet.
Yeah.
So I guess he could come, but I just have a few more wires to run, and I've got all my foil back insulation that you put up on the outside of the walls for the brick.
Mm-hmm.
Brick goes up against that. So I have all that done. And
so you're actually working. This is not.
Yes. I mean, just, I was up on a scaffold. I have this big scaffold that I rented.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 7 or 8 feet up in the air, doing the gables, end, putting my sub siding on before I put my regular siding.
I'm just glad somebody's got some energy. I read a book today, and enjoyed that very much. But other than that, I haven't done a hell of a lot.
I took a shower, so
that's good.
Overdone it today.
Oh yeah, happy about that. And you're up on the scaffold. There's something wrong there.
I put two windows in each end of the pavilion, in each little room, the one in the bathroom, but they're way high. Like, if you're standing on the floor, they would be almost 8 feet to the bottom of the window.
Really?
Wow.
And so it's just for light. But
yeah.
they do slide. Like, in the springtime, they have screens, so I'll just slide them open, and then October, I'll go close them.
Why did you put them up so high?
Just for light. Well, one is a bathroom, so it's like a privacy thing, and then the other one match it is just really a storeroom.
Okay.
So
That's neat. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Because the two doors that we did buy, the solid, they're exterior doors, but they also have a raise up window, a half window in them, which has a screen on it. So you could have, like, if you were in the storeroom doing something, you could have some cross.
You could have a breeze, but
not air conditioning or heating.
These windows on the outside doors will open.
Yes, they'll raise up.
That is cool.
Yeah, that's real good.
Well, I guess we could get to a little list mail since, listen, do you do plan to come back someday and be with us?
I'm going to be there next week. Tom Houston comes or not.
You're actually going to be here next week.
That's right.
I'm planning on being here, too.
Man. All right. Well, I'd like to have a quorum before I go on vacation. I'm leaving the 2nd, if most of you know, I think.
Second of September.
Alaska cruise. I'd like to have a quorum. Anyway, Tommy Houston's here, and he's going to read us some list mail, Tommy.
Okay, Phil. Here's a guy by the name of Robert Moore, and he says that he's found some corners the other day for building his own sawhorses. Now, his questions are as follows.
Okay.
How long should I cut the legs? How long should I cut the top crossboard? And what angle should I cut the bottom of the leg so that it will sit flush on the ground? He says, I imagine I could make them any size I wish, but what is typical for a sawhorse?
Well, waist high, don't you think?
Waist high and probably about 2 feet wide, 3 feet. I have two that I purchased that are, they're 2 feet wide. They're notched where you can set a 2x4 in there and make a table.
Yeah.
And so that they're about 2 feet wide. The long bar, he might want to make them 3 feet 3 feet wide and belt high. It's comfortable.
Belt high is usually about right. The angle of the leg, just remember that the angle of the leg that sits on the ground will exactly, match the... In other words, if you set it on the ground, it's the other angle's going to be the same, no matter, if you... And both those angles are on the same side. You have to really... I have to lay it up there and sink it through every time I do, like, a picnic table leg, because you want to cut them on opposite sides, but both those angles are on the same side.
Well, and two, the angle, you just have to use a little, common sense, like a 45-degree angle, if you decide that, is too much of an angle.
Yeah. Which
has your legs sprawled out too much.
Yeah.
So you're going to go in between 45 and 0.
Which would be 22, whatever,
Yeah, it's like a good 22 and a half, or maybe, kind of, but like Phil says, whichever angle you cut at the top, when you attach it, then that's going to be your same.
That's going to be a flat angle at the bottom. But, we all three have chop saws, and there is a halfway place between 45 and 0.
There sure is.
It's 22 and a half, and then there's 15 on mine is marked, too, 15 degrees. But I would go with 22 and a half. Well, I don't know.
I think that'd be about right.
Try some scraps and get a cut that you can live with.
You want them to...
I would just do, if you have the chop saw, just do some tests.
Yeah.
Just a couple of tests to kind of suit yourself, because you could also kind of determine your height. If you just say, I want my legs to be 4 feet long, and then you angle them up to hold your sawhorse, it may come out to be your right height.
That may be what you want, but you want them splayed out, about 4 feet?
Yeah.
You want them, the bottom's about 4 feet apart, front to back.
Oh, not. I don't think 4 feet.
You think that's too wide a spread?
I'd say probably 3 feet.
Okay.
Something like that.
Hmm. Keep him from tipping over.
Yeah, you want it to. You want it. It's like
unless he's just wanting to do this for fun, you can buy a pair of them for about $25 at Lowe's.
I'm going to do next time I.
These ones and the weight load on them is $2,500.
Yeah. Oh,
next time
great.
I build, and I'm going, when we do the stage, I'm going to build some picnic tables. I'm just going to go to Lowe's and buy a pair of those.
Yeah.
How could you beat it?
Fold up sawhorses would be the way to go.
How could you beat it? I mean, they're light, they're plastic, they're not going to rot in the, you're not going to come out.
Adjustable legs, which your wooden stationary ones won't be, but he may just want to be doing this for fun,
That's true.
You're not going to come out next spring and realize they've rotted,
Yeah.
They're going to be there by and by. You should be able to pass them along to your grandchildren. Wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead there. Let's build my plan.
Okay, here's a guy. He's decided that he has to build a small but sturdy table in his basement, measuring 36 by 24 by 42 inches high.
Okay.
I'm going to make the thing entirely out of tuba floors, he says. I can measure accurately up to 36 inches. I have a tape measure, but I tend to use it for rough estimates, not for measuring where accuracy is a concern. Now, I can get the lumber yard to cut a 48 and 42 inch 2x4s that I could use as a guide, but I thought I'd ask if any of you had a better suggestion or knew of an accurate measuring device that could handle those kinds of lengths that wouldn't break the bank. Thanks in advance, Bill.
All right, Bill. I would stretch the ruler out as long as you thought you wanted the piece to be, and cut the first one, and then you'd have a pattern.
Then you got a guide.
I would also, he wants something to accurately measure something 48 inches, 4 feet, did he not say?
Yeah.
And 42? Mm-hmm. I would go buy a piece of plywood, 4 feet wide. There's your guide.
There would be a guide,
yeah.
And then measure in 8 inches. He said he could measure up to 36 inches and measure in 8 inches, 6 inches off of that, and there's your 42. And if you didn't want a whole sheet of plywood, Lowe's will sell you a 4x4 cut, and there's your guide.
Yeah.
Well, wonder what kind of tools this guy has.
I don't know. I wonder why he's going to build his table all out of 2x4s.
I don't know. What about the top? What's he going to make the top out of?
I think that's what he said. He's going to do that out of 2x4s, too. That's pretty hefty.
He says he's going to make the entire thing out of 2x4s.
A rough utility table for the basement, I guess.
It'll take a couple of you to move it.
Yeah, what a load it would be.
And that's a waste on the top, man. That's way too thick. You don't need a top that thick. You need a plywood top. Like, my workbenches are what is it? I think it's 3/4 inch plywood. And man, you know, you can stand on them. They're not, you know, they'll. My brother-in-law Scott could stand on them. Well, maybe.
maybe, huh? Yeah. Iffy, wouldn't it?
It'd be
iffy?
Kind of be a little iffy. I wouldn't want to be in the shop when he did it. But only kidding, Scott. Maybe no one will tell him. But yeah, they'll hold. I mean, that's all, you know, a piece of plywood on there for you. You know, have a cut, you get yourself a piece of plywood and make the top out of that, and make the frame out of 2x4s. Yeah, but even the thing around the top doesn't need to be 2x4s. That's big old thick. I mean,
it'd
you got to
heavy.
You got to drive a nail, then you got to have at least a 3 or 4 inch long nail to do any good. And that's you know, that's driving a 4 inch nail is a useless.
Yeah.
Unless you have my nail gun. All right, Tommy.
Okay, here's a guy. He says, "Hi, all." He said, "I need to drill into some cultured marble." Since cultured marble is a composite product and not real stone, I'm not sure what to use on it for tools. Does anyone know if this requires the use of masonry drill bits, or does one use regular twist drill bits so that it does not chip or crack? This is from Mickey.
I pass on this one.
I pass on this one. I don't have any idea, but I'd say you'd almost have to have a masonry bit.
I would... believe it or not, I would pass. I mean, as far as me having the answer, but if I lived in his town, there's probably someone that works with marble, i.e. doing shower enclosures.
They could easily tell you.
And I would call him and ask him what he used.
He'd be happy to tell you. But a masonry bit, I mean, a regular old wood bit, you could make a hole in it, but it's going to make a nasty, you know, wallet out.
Yeah, a masonry bit would be my guess. So maybe it does kind of a smooth and sharp, and it wouldn't splinter. And like I say, and actually, you can buy some of those, you know, kind of a one or two time use only, fairly cheap. So,
our guest, we had that time, the granite countertop guy,
uh-huh.
A friend of Dale's neighbor, I bet would know the answer.
Would know the answer. Anybody that works with that kind of thing, and there's people everywhere that do that. Paul Abney could tell you, and if you went up to his old hardware store, he'd know. Answer that, but I'd say a good masonry bit. Everybody needs a little set of masonry bits anyway. But you can buy them single, one at a time. Cultured marble. I guess he's going to do something in the house with his wife's vanity. She's going to kill him.
That would be a nervy project.
I wouldn't. I'd call somebody. Yeah. Let them screw it up. You know. You know that's what he's going to do.
Here's a guy that says he's worked in a shop that did that stuff over 35 years.
Okay.
And he said that they used regular bits, power saws, and electric sanders.
Uh-huh.
So he signs his name Tune Collector.
Well, I guess he'd know.
That would work for me.
35 years, he would probably know, I would think.
He would think so.
But would you just use a regular old bit like you'd drill a hole in a piece of wood with?
That's what he says, regular bits.
It is a composite product, so it's just mud stuck together with something, right? Smoothed off.
I assume that's roughly kind of what I had. You know, like I say, you can either use tile in your bathroom, or a lot of people use it. They put it up in sheets, fairly about 3/4 inch thick, and then caulk them together. And so I that works for me. I mean, if this guy's worked with it, he ought to know.
What is Corian?
That's a cabinet, the new cabinet tops. They're very expensive. It's a man-made product, and the selling point of it is that you can buff scratches out of it and not lose the finish. That you can...
Really?
Yeah. They're putting it in a lot of new... It would remind you kind of a Formica, but they can roll it.
Yeah.
They roll their corners, and I think they make it in one piece, like where I'm not sure there's any seams. You can even have the sink made out of that stuff, and it's kind of... But the thing I remember the most is expensive, and you're supposed to be able to buff the scratch. Like if you used it as a cutting board or something.
And you messed it up, you could buff a scratch out of it.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, go ahead.
Okay. Here's some instructions from a guy. He says, I found this and thought it might be of interest to some of you. User manuals have always been frustrating for me, even frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Many products come with hefty manuals. Some have several manuals. Said I file them away, but with number of gadgets, appliances, and accessories I have, this a daunting task. So I can never seem to find the exact manual I want. Many manufacturers make manuals available online, so that's where I usually go.
Most people do now.
When that fails, I visit usermanualguide.com. It has hundreds of product manuals from major manufacturers. They cover electric toothbrushes to television sets.
Yep.
Handy. The manuals are in PDF format, so you'll need the free Acrobat Reader.
That's right.
Now, one complaint is that the site is missing some major brands, and not all my products are there, but I suppose that would be an important task. To visit today's cool site, go to www.usermanualguide.com.
In fact, I did that very thing just the other day, and
check it out.
It's a good site. Like the guy said, it doesn't cover everything, but there is a lot of manuals on the site.
How far back does it go? I mean, does it get back with outdated stuff? I mean,
I don't know. I'm not sure how far back it actually goes on equipment, but it lists by brand. You could go, if you have a certain brand, something that you're looking for the manual for, you just go and check that list of whatever brands they have it.
Okay. So, and if it's there, you're in luck.
And if it's there, you got the Acrobat Reader.
What old crippled up piece of gear were you having?
Well, I've got so many old crippled up pieces of gear at the house. You know, I just thought, you know, if I needed a manual, I'd know where to go.
Yeah.
If you were looking there, it would be. To see what you might find out.
Most manuals are all, even my little drummer machine that hadn't been made in 10 years, she found a manual for it online.
Amazon is another place you can usually go for brands and look up a brand there and find a manual for a lot of things there.
Is this from our Australian friend Ray Boyce? Did he post it?
No. Let me find this guy's name. Si, the Ancient Okie.
Si, the Ancient Okie. We've had him on. Nice guy.
We need to talk to him about something else again one of these days.
We need to have him on again. He's always doing stuff, and he's our age, Pat.
The guy you said should have been a radio guy.
Yeah, I had a great voice.
Yeah.
Si, the Ancient Okie. Well, yep. Mr. Patterson?
Yes, sir.
Yes, the rain has quit over there, huh?
No, it's kind of thundering still, but I don't know if it's quit raining or not.
All right, well, we're going to let you go.
All right.
Back to whatever you're doing. Play your accordion, drink a beer, and hope for the best. What time Mama be home?
She just came.
She just walked in the door. I guess you've got supper ready.
No, but it's in the
work. I'll talk to you in a day or two.
Bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later. I guess we could take a little break and go with our guest, who is, what's his name?
Barry Levine.
Barry Levine. Barry Levine, the pack rat.
Yeah, did a really good post to the list. We just got to talk about it.
Talked about saving, keeping things, and a lot of people are guilty. I'm guilty of this. Don is just the opposite.
Yeah.
So we ought to have a good discussion. We'll phone him up and have him on in just a minute.
Tom and me, we'll throw away any damn thing, won't we, Tom?
Exactly. I've got 50.
I would. My wife won't let me.
50 cents of the first dollar I ever made. But no, I've got. If you want any coffee cans, just give me a holler. I can fix you right up, sir. We'll take a little break. Be right back on the Blind Handyman. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheridan Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing.
taxes, and great live music. We'll record a live blind handyman show Sunday morning, a live blind like me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's phil@philpar.net. We'll see you this November in Houston.
Sort of an eerie sounding song.
It's strange music, isn't it?
Strange music they're playing on the satellite there. Well, welcome to the show, at our little show called The Blind Handyman. Barry Levine is our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
That's good. Where are you? What city are you in?
I am in Homer Glen, Illinois.
Now, I think you said
30 miles southwest of Chicago.
You said you'd been on the show before, and I remember you now.
You, probably about a year, something like that.
You run some kind of a what do you do? I ought to know, but I can't remember.
I own an outpatient therapy and rehab facility here.
Mostly okay.
Physical therapy, things like that.
Physical therapy.
Okay. Yeah. I do remember now, but I had you have so many on that you just can't remember everybody.
Absolutely.
But I remember you because you're right out of sight of one of my favorite cities, which is Chicago.
Absolutely. It's a great city.
I'd live there if I could, but probably lucky I can't. It gets just as hot there almost as it does in Texas, doesn't it?
We've had some hot weather this summer.
Boy. Man.
You have.
Right now, it's very nice, though.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice here.
Low 80s, kind of sunny, a little bit of a breeze. It's beautiful.
Oh, that'll work.
It's nice here because we got some rain a while ago.
Yeah, it cooled it off a little
bit. God, we didn't need rain. We hadn't had rain. We haven't had any rain in a month.
Well, we get our share of rain.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you have harsh winters. Chicago has harsh, bad news winters.
Yeah, it depends on the winter. I mean, sometimes, obviously, just like any other place, winters aren't so bad. Sometimes they're terrible.
Yeah.
I don't mind the cold. I don't like when we get a lot of snow. It's just very cumbersome. So.
Yeah, the cane doesn't make much noise in the snow, does it?
No.
Tapping along shorelining with your cane, you don't make much noise there in the old...
Makes life a little bit.
The old white stuff. I get up every morning and read the list, and I read the first few messages and then kind of skip down. If there's anything of interest, I read it. But you were the first on the list that morning, so I read your entire message, and it had to do with pack ratism.
Yeah.
Great
post.
I couldn't think of another word for it, so that's as good as any. It had to do with saving and keeping stuff that you really needs to be gone. So tell us about your shop and what you've gotten into up there.
Well, my workshop, it's in the basement of our home. Uh-huh. Our home is 20 years old. We built it, and at the time I had the basement kind of subdivided into a few different areas, one being where we were going to... finish it, and it'd be where the kids were going to have whatever kids need to survive in the suburbs, and the other part of the basement was going to be for storage, and it's where all the operations of the house are, the furnaces and water heaters and stuff like that, and the rest of the basement was going to be my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 15, 16 feet by about 18 feet, and it's not, I left the larger portions of the basement over to the other functions. But it's a good enough size.
Oh, yeah, a good size shop.
A nice little shop, yes.
Yeah, and when I initially put the thing together, it was neat as a pin, obviously. Everything was new. I built my workbench. I went out and got some power tools. They were gorgeous. I stood down there and worshipped my tools, as most of us
do. Oh, yeah.
and over the years, it just seems to have, I don't know, I think things just sort of invent themselves overnight when I'm not there to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just collected more and more and more and more and more. And then a couple weeks ago, I really did write that post out of frustration. I went down there to get something done, and I just couldn't move. I couldn't move.
Yeah.
I couldn't find what I needed to find. I couldn't do what I needed to do. And I thought, God damn it.
Yeah.
So I sat down and wrote that post. And actually, that was, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And I maybe a little bit more now. I don't know. And I've actually made some headway down there.
All right.
I started throwing things out. And I swore to myself nothing new would come into my workshop until it was ready to accept it.
Throwing things away, huh?
You can't believe some of the stuff I've thrown away. like I said in that post, I mean, old saw blades with broken teeth. I mean, why would anybody keep such things? You know, I have the most ridiculous thing I threw away was something like, I just threw it away. I just came across it again. I've had it for about almost as old as the house is. So, but I probably had it for about 18 years. And what it is a, I don't know if you've ever seen one, it's a newspaper roller that you're supposed to use for making newspaper logs for your fireplace.
I've heard about them. I don't have one, but I've read about them.
Yeah, it's like this half cylinder kind of thing, and it's got a it's got an axle in the middle of it, and it's got a hand crank, and you sort of feed the newspaper into it, and you can crank it really tight. And then you're supposed to soak it in this solution of like water and laundry detergent, let it dry, and it turns into this wonderful burning log. I've never used it once. We converted our fireplace to gas about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've come across it, you know, half a dozen times over the years. One of my shins would hit it, and I'd say, oh, yeah, you know, I can't. You obviously can't get rid of something like that. You never know when you're going
right.
to roll a newspaper into a fireplace log, right? So I finally, I think that was when I tossed that into the garbage, that was that was a moment for me. I think I broke the spell.
A defining moment, huh?
That was it.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Now, I'm certainly not home free down there in that workshop, but it's gotten a lot better.
But there are projects there that you look at and you think, what did I have in mind here?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a few of those.
Yeah. And worse yet, I have projects down there that I know what I had in mind, and it sort of never got past.
Yeah,
I mean, I still have an oak box that was to be the case for a small tabletop grandfather clock type thing. And that is got to be a decade old. Has to be 10 years old.
Well, it's oak. You can't throw that away. You'll have to keep that.
Exactly. Well, it's oak, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't chunk oak. Oak is expensive. You can't. The newspaper roller I can see if you've converted to gas, but
right.
The oak box you probably need to finish, that little jewel.
Well, that's, I'll tell you what, you're hitting probably the most difficult thing for me is, like, I'm sure everybody else on that list, I've got odd pieces of wood all over the place. And the hardest thing for me to throw away is wood. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like I said in that post, I think it's a disease. There's something wrong with me.
I have a designated place in my shop where I put wood scraps. And if it's a wood scrap, I put it there. And every once in a while, one of my like last couple of years ago, my granddaughter came over and said, Papa, do you have any kindling? And I said, well, look under that workbench. There's lots. She burned it all, and I almost cried.
Yeah.
To see all those lovely wood scraps.
Yeah.
And what I was keeping them for, I don't know, but they're gone.
Well, you were keeping them to make your granddaughter happy.
Well, it did make her. It made her, I guess, very happy. She burned all of it. I didn't tell her she could burn it all, but I went out the next morning. It was all gone. So maybe I'll send her to you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You know, if anybody needs some scrap wood, if they want to pay for the shipping, I'd be happy. I have a couple of neat things. I've left. My workshop is not what you'd call, quote, finished, but it's finished to the point where it has drywall on its walls. It's not bare studs.
Oh, really?
And the floor is still cement, but I sort of epoxied the floor, so it's a nice, you know, surface. But the ceiling is still all the, you know, the operator. We've got the vents and the water pipes and the gas pipe and that sort of thing. And in the rafters up there, or in the, you know, between the joists in the basement ceiling, I hung these wood hangers. You know, like they're sort of an upside down T, and you screw it into the bottom of the joist, and maybe you put it at 4 foot intervals, and you can lay long.
I know what you're talking about. Okay.
And I've got that. I've got several pairs of those, and they're all filled with who knows what, 2x4s, old, you know.
Yeah.
Flooring and hardwood flooring, things like that.
So it's all going to go.
It's all going.
It's all going.
I will probably, you know, like you just said, oak is a hard thing to throw away.
Well, you might keep the oak, but throw the plywood and cheap, yeah. You know, the.
Yeah, and not all oak is all that wonderful either. So, you know, some of it might go. I have some nice poplar down there that I used. I actually built our bed in the master bedroom out of poplar. And I've got some nice pieces of poplar. I built it out of raw poplar. And I have some nice pieces of, like, 5/8-inch poplar down there, and I might keep that.
Well, you might. You know, I'm the same way about electrical equipment. I've got an attic full of old equalizers, tape recorders, cassette players, amplifiers that no longer work. I've got an attic full.
Yeah.
And most of it's been up there 3 or 4 years. It wasn't any good when I put it up there, and it's even worse now because it's been in 120-degree temperatures now. And I keep saying I'm going to pull that staircase down and put the trailer in the garage and chunk every bit of it, but I haven't done it yet.
Well,
those old equalizers look nice, and every once in a while I'll get them down and go, it really couldn't be as distorted as I thought it was when I put it up here.
Right.
But it is.
But it is.
And, right. And you know, I've found there's a reason, whether it be old electronic equipment or old power tools or whatever we happen to have around, there's usually a reason why we haven't used the thing for the last 6 years, you know? And probably it wasn't working all that well at the time. Or, I mean, I just threw it away. Here's another thing. I had a hand drill, a corded drill, that I purchased pre-marriage. It's got to be close to 30 years old. And I haven't used it in probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But corded power drill, can't throw it away.
But you did.
But I did. I did.
All right. Wrote now, down. We want to look at the other side of the coin, ladies and gentlemen. I want to introduce to you, man, whose theory is, if I haven't used it in a year, it's gone.
It's out of
Ladies
here.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don Shaw.
That's it. You got it. Yeah, that's the deal. If it hadn't been used in a year or so, it's not going to be, and it's just time to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I envy that.
Can do it easily. Do it.
So you don't have any junk at your house, Don?
No, relatively no. Not no. Sure don't.
It's amazing. Just,
Don, what do you do with those little metal things, the little metal fittings that come with this or that appliance that you don't know where they fit, but you got them in a little plastic bag when you bought the thing? Where's all that?
In the trash can. If I need a new one of something, I guess I'd have to go to the hardware store and just hope I could find it. Yeah, that's the deal.
I can't do it.
I can't. I have a hard time with that, too.
I can't do it. And then... Tom here. Tom, your wife.
Oh, goodness gracious sakes alive. She can get anything. I mean, get anything in the box it came in. If it's something she feels like she could store something in, she will keep the doggone box.
What did you tell her? We're filling up our cabinets with storage stuff to store stuff in.
That's right. That's exactly what we're doing. You know. I mean, she buys these Rubbermaid things. And she'll put stuff in to store it, and then every cardboard box that comes along, she'll store stuff in that. Now we don't have any room to get around because everything's stored in a box made of rubber or cardboard. Who knows?
Man.
Kind of wish I was married to Don Shaw.
Yeah, because you...
Well, wait a minute.
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't want to go that far.
But I'll tell you what, Don, you can make a living. You hire yourself out to clean up everybody's workshop.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah, I could
sure
do it,
could.
Man. But yeah, Tom, you would go towards the side of the fence where you could just take things and just chunk them, right?
I
pretty much.
I think that would solve a lot of our space problems. if we would just look at things and really look at them from a common sense standpoint.
Yeah.
And get rid of them.
Yep.
Yeah, and actually, now that I'm cleaning up my workshop, that's exactly what I've had to do. I pick some up. I say to myself, okay, Barry, honestly, are you going to use this?
Yeah.
And 99 times out of 100, the answer is no. I'm not going to use it.
Not going to ever use it again.
It doesn't give you a little kind of little pain in your tummy when you...
It does. It's not even my hands shake. I mean, it's against my nature.
I can't do it. My wife, there's above our living room, it's kind of above our living room and off to the side, there's a little loft that's her loft, and it's where her computer is. It is a kind of a long room. It is probably 6 feet across and 15 feet long. Mm-hmm. Has her roll top desk, her computer desk, all her computer stuff. No one goes up there but her. It looks like someone stood on the stairs and threw things into the loft. You know, I've never seen
good organization.
I don't see how she finds anything, but she's happy with it. And far be it from me, I never go up there. I don't care, you know. But she fusses at me for being a pack rat, but she's as bad as I am.
Well, you know what? That brings up a good point. You say that it's her loft; nobody else goes up there. She's the only one there. I've had that problem, and I said this in one of my posts. I think I've had the problem. You know, I'm married. I have three kids. My three kids have friends. Everybody's in my workshop. And I was pretty loose about that for a long time. And now I'm kind of putting my foot down. It's my workshop. I actually have considered putting a lock on the door and keeping the key.
Uh-huh.
What did the kids go in there and do? What were they?
Whatever. Well, now two of the three of them are away at school. So.
Yeah.
But anything, whatever projects they've had over the years. I mean, if you've got kids and they've gone through grade school, they've built planets and, my son and his little soapbox or whatever they are, those little cars that you have to build for Boy Scouts.
Yeah. And he built them in your shop.
Of course, anything and everything. And, and my son in particular, like his father, every once in a while gets a brainy idea that he wants to build a bridge to the next state or whatever. So he's down there and he's pounding away at stuff. God knows what he's doing. And then loses interest. And whatever he started is still down
there. Just hanging around down there.
Yeah. And tools are wherever he last put them down. And nails are wherever he last put the box.
Yep.
And sandpaper's all over the place.
I don't put up with that. I've got a brother-in-law we have this all the time. You know, if you don't use my tools if you want to, but put them right back where they go because I can't find them if you don't.
Yeah,
we have that same. But kids, my kids are long gone and were when I moved in this house, so just my brother-in-law. Right now he's building a deer stand, and it's all over my shop. I mean, it's a hot August, it's 115 degrees, and he's building it. That just doesn't make any sense. He's bought this frame, this deer stand frame, and he wants to, it's going to be 15 feet in the air, and he wants to put sides on it, but he wants to take them up and attach them after he puts it in the air, but he doesn't want to use any nuts and bolts. How can I attach these to these square pieces of tubing without bolts? Well, what do you have against bolts? Well, then I have to keep up with the bolts. Well, other than putting magnets on the plywood, I don't know how the hell he's going to do it.
Well, if he's the only one who's going to sit in it, then it's probably his problem. If somebody else is going to sit in it, then he better bolt it.
It'll be only him. He'll be the only, we had meat in last year's deer meat. I don't think we need any more. So you're cleaning up, and eventually you're going to actually get back to work in your shop.
Absolutely. I've got several projects lined up that need to be taken care of, just things around the house that need to be done. And I'm looking forward to getting some of that done.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of doors that need some repair. I've got some shelves that need to be built. I've got a couple of bar chairs that need to be fixed, things like that.
And you built the bed that's your master bedroom bed.
Yeah, I did.
It's
a gorgeous four-poster bed. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Really? How did you lay the posts, or are they square, or what are they?
I built a jig for my table saw and ran 4x4 poplar posts through it on an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually chamfered as well. So I did like eight It's like an octagonal, is that the word? Yeah.
Okay.
So it's tapered and chamfered. And I did that just with a couple of different jigs on my table saw. And then there's little curly cues on the wood toward the bottom, or where at least the sides of the bed meet the post. And I actually had my sighted brother-in-law do that on a bandsaw. There was no way I was going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's pretty damn easy.
The posts are eight-sided posts instead of, and so you just did the.
They're eight-sided posts and they're tapered and chamfered. Yeah, and I did all of that on a. On a table saw.
I can see.
I had to build a jig for it to lay the post in and slide it on through.
I can see how you could do that with a table saw, but I never had thought about it.
Yeah. I used, believe it or not, Norm Abrams. Remember him from, I forgot the name of the show.
On TV?
Yeah, on TV. He built a bed almost identical to this, and you could go, at the time I went on the net, or wherever it was, and got the plans for it. I obviously had to have somebody sighted read me the plans, but once that was done, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's turned out beautifully.
And at the top of each post, did you, they make a thing with this big screw in the bottom that you can just screw on the top.
Yeah,
that's what you did.
Finial. And no, I didn't. I left the top of the post. Plane. They're fairly tapered by the time you get up there.
Yeah.
And they're over, they're about 6.5 feet high, maybe more. No,
really?
About 6.5 feet high. And I can't remember exactly the dimensions now, but I had thought about putting those finials up there. In fact, I went so far as each post I drilled.
You drilled a hole in it?
I drilled a pilot for a finial, but I just never put them up there.
Now, what's it called? A finial?
Finial, yeah. As you might imagine, it's the end. It's the
final.
It's the finial.
Yeah. Finial. That's a good term. I'd never.
Mm-hmm.
It's one I'd never run across in my travels. I guess obviously you bought the hardware to fit. What about the side rails? Are they're metal?
Side rails are no, they're poplar.
They are.
Yeah, that's the. Let's see. I made those out of 2x8, maybe something like that. Real dimensions of maybe 1.5x8, something like that.
Yeah.
And I screwed little ledges in to accept a box spring on the side rails and on the foot rail and on the rear. Little 1.5x1.5 ledges.
How did you attach the side rails to the posts? With dowels or what?
With bolts going through. For example, if you're looking at the bed from the foot of the bed,
okay,
going through the post
into the side rail.
Into the side rail. And actually, what I did was because you're going into end grain there, and I just didn't really trust it terribly. And you have to be able to take it apart because there's no way this bed is coming out of a doorway.
You put a little block on the inside and went into that, right?
Well, actually, no. What I did was I drilled halfway through the side rail from the inside, and I actually used a nut and bolt. I actually used a screw and a nut to pull that post and rail together. And then I got these fancy little brass-type things that hang over the hole on the front of the post where I put the bolt through.
You went into the side rail and then drilled a hole so you could put the nut up in and pull it together like that.
Exactly.
Like you see tables sometimes made like that.
Yeah.
They pulled them together like that. Well, that's pretty.
The plans didn't call for that. The plans really just called for putting a lag screw through the post and into the side rail. But again, you're going into end grain there, and I just didn't trust it.
Were you afraid you'd split it?
Yeah, or it would just strip and come out, you know.
Yeah?
So.
Which would have been no fun.
No.
While you're, laying in the old bed, it comes apart.
Right. What I did was I just used a Forstner bit, drilled halfway through the inside of the side rail, and put a nut there.
Mama wouldn't think too much of you if the bed collapsed.
fell apart. Yeah.
Well, maybe my fear was just born of my wishful thinking that bed was going to see a whole lot of rambunctious action, but So I thought, well, you know.
I'll build it good and strong.
I got to build this thing sturdy. Otherwise, right. We're just going to rip it to shreds.
Got to make this bed sturdy or we're going to tear it to pieces. Well, all right, sir. I keep saying this, but I'm going to come to Chicago and sit down and have a drink with you one night.
Well, please do.
And
wonderful.
Go down to your shop and throw some stuff away.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
I'll buy you your drinks if you'll just come down and throw stuff away.
Well, you know, like I said before, we do a lot of Amtrak traveling, and you end up in Chicago if you go anywhere on Amtrak.
Yeah.
Because it's the hub, you know. And
yep.
Has that big, wonderful station that my wife was, I was having a little gout problem, so we had a wheelchair in the little waiting room, and she said, can I borrow this wheelchair? And they said, no, it's not to go out of this waiting room. And she said, okay, and pushed me through the door in it. And they're still going, come back here. You know they are.
Yeah.
But sir, carry on, and we'll talk with you. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
me. All right, Barry, we'll visit with you later.
Thank you.
Barry Levine from just north of Chicago.
Yeah.
What a guy, you know?
Yeah.
Physiotherapist, as Dale Evans would say.
That's right.
Physiotherapy.
What a deal, too.
All right. I guess we'll take a break and figure out, talk about something when we come back.
All right.
All right. Back in just a minute with more of the exciting Blind Handy Man Show. Hang on.
Wait a while, and no tears for us. Sing love and wear a smile. And our dreams are meant to be. Stay in love's way. Our day will come.
November 2004.
You might have gathered we have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr. And this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheridan Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's phil@philpar.net. We'll see you this November in Houston.
I don't know. But
it's different, dude. Wayne. Wayne Newton was Donka Shane.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Darling Donka Shane.
Yeah.
I loved it. Great song.
Well, but just remembering what his voice sounds like. I mean, well, Our Day Will Come would be a wonderful song for Wayne Newton.
We'll play it on our next show.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah. American classic country. Anyway,
that was a good discussion back there about throwing things away, man. It's just...
Well, you have to clean up every once in a while. It has to be...
I guess you just gotta...
It has to be done. Bite the bullet.
Yeah. That's kind of different, though, having a shop down in the basement. That'd be pretty cool, having a shop in your house.
Having basements would be cool, as far as I'm concerned. Having a basement that you could So you could go down in, you know, you can actually go down in, but I'd like to have the studio in the basement.
That's right. A separate place in your house you could just go to, and it'd be cool. It'd be neat. And we just don't see them in our part of the world.
My sister's house in Birmingham has a basement, and it's real neat. Real neat.
We just don't have them here because the water table
is
too high, and you can't. I mean, you can't have basements. However, I mean, how do they get away with that basement? That little restaurant downtown Lufkin. It's down in the old Perry's building.
I don't know.
It has a there's a basement down there.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's down. You take an elevator and go down. You never went to that Marbles?
I've never been.
No. It's open years ago.
No. I knew about it, but I've never been.
I'm looking for something here. Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's down in the basement of the old Perry's building. And where can they have a basement?
So obviously there's a basement or two here in town, maybe in some buildings.
By the Perry's building.
I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of buying things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little blind-friendly thing here to talk about just for a minute here. I was sitting around Saturday morning, got up early, drinking that cup of coffee, reading the email. And you know that Dale Campbell, that Cooking in the Dark guy, just twisted my arm and made me spend some money. How that works.
I know. I've met him.
He is a salesman.
Yeah. I was reading some email and just reading about some people on the Cooking in the Dark list. Some blind folks had written, a couple of people wrote some great meat smoking stories.
Posts about meat smoking.
Yeah. And Dale was talking about this meat smoker that he bought and said they have it at Academy, which is a local store that we have here that sells sporting good and outdoor type things. I said, man, that sounds like a good handyman project for the day. I think I need to buy one of these smokers. And that's what we did. Went down to the store Saturday morning, picked one up, brought it back to the house. And, of course, you know how it is when you start assembling something. Got the instructions, and it was one of these kind of deals where there really wasn't a lot to do on the smoker. Basically, you just put the handles on the lid.
That's all?
And a handle on each side of the body of the smoker so you could pick it up. But what was strange about these handles was it was a metal U-shaped type thing that you put a piece of wood on each side of.
Uh-huh.
And you put a bolt nut through the middle, a bolt through the middle of it, and put a nut on the inside, which was good because the holes were already drilled in the wood, so you just put the nut, into the
nothing to it.
Hole that was the right size in the wood, and you would tighten the screw, and the wood would hold the nut, is how it was supposed to have worked. But, you know, the way that worked was, we got our first caller. Anyway, Tom, the holes weren't drilled through good. They didn't drill the holes all the way through. The wood was the problem.
Oh, boy.
Hi there.
So.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
Speaking
what are you
of.
You got any ribs left, man? You got anything on that smoker?
This is your smoker there.
Just call the show here.
Yeah.
Is it time to cook?
What are you doing?
Man, I am sitting here. I'm trying to get in and listen to y'all.
You are?
Yeah. You got the switchboard clogged up.
You better hurry. We're fixing to be off.
We were just talking about that smoker, in fact. I told them you made me spend some money Saturday, Dale Campbell.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Now, what they need to do is hold you down and make you start bringing, you need to start feeding the crew on Tuesday.
I hear you. That's the deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Smoke something in that new smoker and bring it over here on Tuesday. Hell of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to get the day off on Monday.
Anyway, for $60, he got the smoker.
Yeah.
I guess the same one you have.
Yes.
And it's a great, great smoker.
It is awesome. In fact, we just recorded a smoking show, Smoking in the Dark, where we did we did ribs on the smoker, in fact.
Hmm.
And then Mr. Shaw calls me and tells me he's doing it. I'm like, get down tonight, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, that man, it's a great.
They are so quick and so easy, and, just plug it in and walk away. And for $60, it's one of the best. I mean, if you're not up to speed on, being able to see the thermometers and keep your temperatures regulated and adding wood, and I mean, if you can see to add wood and charcoal and stuff and keep the temperatures regulated and have the time to do it, that's the way to go. But if you can't, these electric smokers they're just great.
And you can't even buy these at Blind Mice Mart, can you?
No, we can't. I can't get them to save anybody any money. if I can't save people some money, we don't want to have them, you know?
Yeah.
We're about saving money.
So we're not trying to sell you anything. These are at Academy, I think, right? Didn't
you say? Academy, or usually you can, sporting goods stores.
Lowe's sells them. In fact, I checked there that they use, a lot of stores around the country sell these, I think. I've read some great reviews on them, actually, on the internet.
Really?
And well, I've done turkeys on them. I've done, we had Charles River on the show as a guest with us, and he's done hams on them. He's done as many as, goodness, like 40 pounds of ham on it at one time.
Whoa. Yeah, I think they say 25 pounds of meat for each grill, I think is what they claim.
You can get like 50 pounds on each one.
Yeah, you can do.
Heavens.
And with rib racks, you can stack a lot of ribs in there if you get some rib racks or something going. Or
that's the accessory right there I want to buy next is the rib rack.
What is a rib rack?
Handy.
It's kind of just like a, it's kind of a stand, if you will. It's got roughly about 8x8 square piece of metal, and then it's got stands coming up on it, or pieces of metal coming up to where you can actually stand ribs in it.
Okay, I got you.
So instead of having your ribs laying flat on them, they stand up.
I got you.
So you get more of them. You know, you can get more slabs in there. So instead of killing one pig, get four or five pigs.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the thing that holds us. I saw a taco deal one time like that.
Exactly.
That you stood taco shells.
Yeah.
Yes, it's similar to that, a little bit larger. But, it works fantastically.
All right, Mr. Campbell.
Doing quite a few of them.
Well, you've missed us. We're out of time.
Man, I'm glad I slid in at the last time. I've been done all day trying to get on here.
Last
minute. I keep getting, too many people
on the server.
Website.
I didn't notice that, but we'll talk about it later.
All right, fellas.
Speaking of things I can't join, I can't figure out how to get on this list you sent me the URL for, that has stories about blind people.
Really?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing wrong.
I'll send you that straight email link again.
All right, sir. I'll talk with you in a day or two. Thank you.
Have a good one, Dale.
Bye,
all right,
Dale.
Bye, Mr.
There's old Dale Campbell.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we've done another one. What was this?
169.
So next week, the two shows next week are going to make 130. For handyman, 130 for blind like me, and 170 for this thing, right?
That's it.
So that'll be the 300th. There'll be 300 hours of programming we've done for ACB Radio.
That is
and
just
they
amazing.
Haven't said thank you, kiss my foot, or nothing.
Sorry.
But that's all right. We don't need their help. We do it because we love you.
Yep.
And, we'll do it next week, I suppose. Huh?
Yep. Might as well.
Then we'll be on vacation. Thank you, Don Patterson, wherever you are. Tom Houston, thanks for showing up, sir.
I enjoyed it.
Donald Shaw.
Another one bites the dust.
We'll see you folks next week. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.